Welcome to the Youth in Climate Action podcast. I'm Michael Matchell, co-creator and co-host, and I'm so glad you've joined us. This is a podcast for anyone anxious about climate change or interested in what it means to be a good steward of our planet as a means of enriching our spiritual lives and connecting with others.
And I'm Kevin Browning, co-host of this podcast. We'll be hearing from youth doing work related to climate action and creation care. This is a safe space to ask questions, wonder aloud, and find a community of like-minded people. You can join our community on Instagram at Youth in Climate Action or send us an email anytime at youthinclimateaction@circlewood.online.
This is a Circlewood production funded by a generous grant from Westmont College. See our show notes for more about both organizations. Welcome to the Youth in Climate Action podcast. Our future episodes will feature conversations with college students and young people from around the world who are doing work in creation care and climate action. However, since this is our first episode, co-host Kevin Browning and I thought it would be a good idea for you all to get to know us a little better. This episode is a two-way conversation between Kevin and I, but future episodes will feature conversations with a diverse group of young people. Be sure to follow us on Instagram or use the notification button wherever you're listening to know when new episodes drop. Thanks for listening. Hey, Kevin, thank you for joining me today on the Youth in Climate Action podcast. It's so great to be here with you and to be co-hosting this podcast with you. This is our first episode. I'm super stoked to tell our listeners a little bit about this podcast and about ourselves and what we can expect. But I'd love to start with just introducing yourself. So can you tell me a little bit about you?
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, it's good to be doing this project with you and getting to serve our audience. I am married to my wife, Haley. We live in Orange with our son who just turned two. His name is Bodhi. I work at Biola University. I'm the art studio manager. So I run all the creative spaces in the art department. And I also get to teach environmental science. That sort of speaks to my main reason for wanting to be a part of this podcast is my passion and love for nature and the environment and creation care.
That's great. And I would echo a similar heart. My name is Michael Matchell. I also adjunct teach in communication at Biola University. I have a master's in public administration from the University of Southern California. My heart as a Christian is to really see a steward God's creation well. So Kevin, as you noted, while you've got the science background, I bring a communication background. We'll talk more in this episode about why it's important to pair those two things together. So I'm super excited to be here with you in the Youth in Climate Action podcast. Let's go ahead and jump in if you're ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
This first episode, we really are introducing ourselves to our listeners and covering the foundation of what is creation care. Can you tell me a little bit about what creation care is and how do you see it bringing hope to Christians, both in the U.S. and all around the world?
First of all, since our audience members may or may not be Christian themselves, I want to clarify some terms here. When we say creation care, this is sort of the way to phrase it and use terms that are inviting to people who see our natural world as creation with involved creator and sustainer behind creation. So we think creation care, that's something we can get behind as a Christian. Other words for creation care is just caring for our environment, and our environment being everything that's around us. So natural resources, taking care of our cities, taking care of our farmland, taking care of our oceans and our shores. And as we care for the world around us, that I think is one of the quickest ways into generating hope for ourselves. A good thing I like to ask myself or others is like, what is something you care about in relationship to the environment? Okay, go do that thing. If what gets you down is trash on the beach, like go clean up trash on the beach. You will start to feel better about yourself and the environment and your role.
That's great. And I know for me in the classes that I teach, I have students that come in, usually they're freshmen or sophomores, and they grew up in a Christian household. They have a background in the faith, but they've never really thought about this topic. Their pastor maybe didn't talk about it from the stage. Their community maybe didn't do work in the natural spaces around them. And it wasn't something that was of concern. And yet, many of my students carry this anxiety about the state of the climate or the state of the natural world around them. And it's an interesting journey to guide them through creation care and its roots mm-hmm. in early Christian tradition, and help them to see that the church is playing a role around stewarding this planet and helping to influence the climate change space. So can you tell me a little bit more about the role that the church plays in creation care today as you see it?
Yeah, the church that I go to, we have a creation care ministry and an active garden, and we educate our population about environmental issues and things and how we in the church can be involved. But in general, there seems to be a disconnect. And so that's what we're going to get to talk about here a little bit. Where does that disconnect come from? Why is it there? And should it be that way? I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited and to be hopeful about the role that the church is increasingly playing in creation care. There are a lot of groups out there, institutions, universities, organizations that are playing big parts in educating and taking action in regards to faith, in regards to climate and environmental stewardship. One of these being Westmont University and their creation care programs. Yeah, they've been running this Faith Action Climate workshop, one that just occurred last summer. And Michael, you were there. Can you tell us a little about your experience with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Westmont College has cared about climate for a long time. Their campus is this beautiful, forested, wild space right outside Santa Barbara, California. And they recognize that same disconnect that you were speaking to. While Christian theology and our traditions in the church clearly call us to steward God's creation well, it's something that we've lost over the last century or so in Western Christianity. In an attempt to address that disconnect, Westmont College put together a Faith Climate Action workshop to bring together experts and college students to learn how to be advocates and have a faithful response to climate change. And so this workshop has been supported by an amazing foundation called the Arthur Vining Davis Foundation. Through both of these organizations is actually how we are able to fund and produce this podcast. And so we are very thankful for that. But also through the Faith Climate Action Workshop at Westmont College, we've been able to get connected to so many other Christian organizations doing great work in this space, from the Young Evangelicals for Climate Action and the Evangelical Environmental Network to the Christian Climate Observers Program, which is an organization Kevin and I will be talking more about in just a moment. But I want to pause here real quick and just let you know that if you're listening to this podcast, whether you are a college student or someone in your early 20s, late 20s, there is a place for you as a Christian who cares about the climate, as a Christian who cares about creation. And our goal in this podcast is to help you discover these places and to help you jump into them. We need you. We need your voice. We need your story. We need your experience. And so we're so glad that you are here with us. What made you interested in creation care? How did you get to the place that you are right now?
So I grew up with a strong connection to nature, you know, around 10 to 13 animals in my room at any time that I was taken care of in my childhood. Always going outside and hopping fences and just to get to like reservoirs and lakes and hillsides and things to explore and flip over rocks. As I got to a Christian elementary school, Christian high school, and Christian university, all these three institutions were highly conservative. And unfortunately, due to the politicized nature of environmental concerns and even nature things, sometimes the church can get, I think, confused and think that, oh, that's a left agenda or an agenda of somebody else. So that's not something that we're going to talk about. So when I got to Biola and I was ready to study biology and learn about our environment, there really wasn't a place for me to talk about it and explore it. And I didn't have the capacity to create such a space. And so that passion and potential career path became a hobby that I'll just sort of push on the side later. Like, oh, maybe when I have my own house one day, I'll have a snake and go on hikes. And that'll be my love for nature. When I got out and saw a bit more of the world and saw more perspective and more Christian communities that embraced creation care, I felt empowered and decided to completely shift my career towards conservation science. And now I'm at Biola, and now I'm trying to create a safe space for students who are coming in with a love for nature to have spaces to talk about it and explore what does it mean for them as a Christian to care for our creation.
I have a similar background as you. I grew up in the Christian faith at a mega church in the densely populated suburbs of LA County, but neither my church nor my community ever talked about creation care or climate change. But through my family and the church, I was given endless opportunities to spend time in nature. I grew up in a city that's right against what we call the San Gabriel Mountains, and they're beautiful. They're snow-capped right now. They are absolutely a gorgeous backdrop for LA. And I spent time in them camping, hiking, mountain biking, snowboarding. And I loved every moment that I spent in those mountains. Early on, I noticed that it was easier to connect with God in my spiritual life when in nature. And even as I grew up and moved to Washington, D.C., and then into the heart of downtown Los Angeles, now in Pasadena, I used time in nature as a way to stay grounded and connected with God. So fast forward to the COVID-19 pandemic years, I decided to go back to school. And while there, I worked on research related to sea level rise in Miami-Dade County, Florida, and public diplomacy strategies with the State Department as it related to the Paris Climate Agreement. And that my love for nature and my desire to be a good advocate in our public spaces, that those two things could interact. But I didn't know how yet. I was lucky after completing my master's, I was given an opportunity to begin adjunct teaching in communication at Biola University. And in one of those courses, I teach rhetoric. Each student picks a social issue to study and speak on throughout the semester. In that course, I decided to use examples related to climate change and creation care. And that's where I got connected to our podcast's co-creator, Kinsley. Her and I were able to attend the Faith Climate Action Workshop that Westmont hosted. And that opened so many doors. Today, I do work with the organizations that we mentioned, Young Evangelicals for Climate Action and the Evangelical Environmental Network. And we get to do this podcast together, which is being hosted by an organization called Circlewood, which was also a part of the Faith Climate Action Workshop. So my love for nature and my love for advocacy and my faith really came together through no intention of my own. And I've just been able to enjoy this ride. And now I'm really hoping to get other Christians involved in this space too, because it's such a holistic way to live out my faith. Speaking of the Christian Climate Observers Program, you and I were just in Dubai for the United Nations COP28. Can you tell me a little bit about what COP28 is and then maybe speak into a little bit of your experience there?
Yeah, certainly. So a COP is a convening of parties. These convening of parties, these COPs happen for a variety of different reasons. This COP28 is the 28th gathering of the parties under the umbrella of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. So this is the United Nations coming together and saying, we have this global issue and we need global standards, policies, and accountability because human beings, we operate with our priorities first, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just how we survive. And so nations, they will always operate with their priorities first. And so we've decided we need to have global accountability here, and the United Nations is going to take on that mantle. A good example is when the United Nations came around the Montreal Protocol, when our ozone layer was being depleted by chemicals we were using in air conditioning and refrigerants and things. And it was in no single nation's best interest to shift how they were doing something economically, but it was in the global interest to shift that. And the United Nations led the way, and we've begun to significantly repair that ozone hole. And by 2040 to 2050, people think that it'll be completely healed over. So incredible success. Success was seen in that story. And now that makes me hopeful because it means hopefully we can solve this issue as well. There was a lot of hubbub and controversy around this COP in particular because it's taking place, number one, in a nation that's completely reliant on income connected to fossil fuels, and also because the COP president was Sultan Al-Jaber, and he is also the CEO of one of the largest oil companies in the world. So there was some controversy there, wondering, is this the end of all COPs? Or is the oil industry going to take over? It was fascinating. It was quite something. It felt like I had never been somewhere so important, where so many important people were coming together.
Some of the wild statistics for me just around COP28 is that you see 198 countries come together to negotiate and have peaceful conversation around this subject, around climate change and the effects of it. There were over 70,000 1,000 people present at these negotiations. Mm-hmm. The largest number of fossil fuel lobbyists ever at a COP were there. And amidst all of this enormity, there's this group of, you know, maybe 30 of us that mm-hmm. were just Christians chosen by the generosity of Christian organizations around the world that are doing work in this space, that were handed badges and allowed mm-hmm. to travel there and be a part of these conversations and be in this space.
Yeah. And something I think, you know, every human has a gift that we bring to the table. And I think something that our group was bringing was like a spiritual faith-based perspective of, yes, we see the pen and paper, we see the policies, but what's happening underneath the surface here? I like to think of it as like thin spaces where barrier between this world and the spiritual world is thin. I know for me, being there with over 70,000 people felt like going to Disneyland every day for 10 days in a row, just walking around knowing that I'm rubbing shoulders with politicians, vice presidents, kings and queens, and tribal leaders. It felt oftentimes like I was inadequate. Like, what am I doing here? I'm just a professor. I'm only 30 years old. I have a son at home. What do I have to offer? And it was so encouraging. And I think it points to something greater, that when I did share my story and why I was there and why I cared, people were taken back and impacted. And they're like, you're a professor. That's incredible. You need to do that. You need to be here and you need to take this back to your students. And I'm like, wow, okay, I matter. And that was the case for a lot of us. And some of us on our team are college students who don't know what they're going to do yet. They maybe haven't even chosen a major or something. Yet every story seemed to matter and belong there in one way or another. And I think that's beautiful. Catherine Hayhoe says something. She says, what's it going to take for us to solve our global climate crisis? The answer is everyone. And I think that speaks to the need to include and accept and embrace diversity, no matter if you're indigenous or not, what race or ethnicity you are, what gender you are, even, you know, what religion you resonate with. I'm excited to get to bring other people, non-white males, onto our podcast and get some various perspectives.
Yes, that's such a great point, Kevin. And I'll use this opportunity to let our listeners know that this is the only episode where it will be just you and me talking. We wanted to use this as an opportunity to help our listeners get to know us and a little bit why we are doing this podcast. But every episode forward, we will be interviewing a young person, college student, someone in their 20s, early 30s, about their experience in creation care and climate action. Whether they were at a COP with us or previously attended a COP, or they're just getting their feet wet in climate action or creation care, we will be creating space to hear other people's stories on this podcast and to help you see opportunities and places where you might fit in, and also give you the opportunity to learn more about the climate crisis that we face and the role that Christians play in stewarding creation. But Kevin, you were talking about some of the things that we took away from the COP itself, but also from the CCOP program. That program's led by a director named Lowell Bliss. I learned so much from him while in Dubai. One of the other things that he talked so much about was the importance of loving our enemies. And you used that Catherine Hayhoe quote that said, it's going to take all of us to face this climate crisis. And what I learned from COP and from Lowell is that that includes the oil executives, right? Like, that mm-hmm. includes President Sultan al-Jaber, and it includes the executive Secretary General of OPEC, which is the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. It's one of the largest, most powerful organizations on the planet. And I had a run-in mm-hmm. with this Secretary General face-to-face, along with some students that were with me on one of our first days at the COP. It was sobering to see behind the mask and to understand, while this man yielded his power in some remarkable ways, at the end of the day, it's hard to look at these members of OPEC and see them as enemies. And the reason for that is because I recognize that, similar to the U.S.'s economy, especially Los Angeles's economy, where you and I both are, these OPEC nations have built their wealth off the back of oil and gas production. And to phase out the production of fossil fuels means to risk their economies. To face this crisis, and for it to mean that it takes all of us, means that we can't just think about the Pacific Islands that are sinking, right? They are very much at risk and are being threatened. And we'll talk about that in this season of the podcast. But we also have to think about countries like Saudi Arabia and the UAE and what their economy looks like, what their people will do as we stop burning fossil fuels. I was so thankful for the people that we met in Dubai that understand this and are doing meaningful work to build relationships, to connect everyone and bring everyone to the table so that we can have meaningful change. I'm looking forward to having them on podcast and having that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Michael. I think a phrase that was heard and spoken of a lot while we were there was a just transition. And there is no transition without it being just. That means whether or not you have a bunch of money or not, everybody, no matter what. So indigenous peoples, the global south, fossil fuel nations, rich nations like China, US, Canada, Mexico, etc., all of us. And I think that's where the spiritual Christian aspect comes into play. Are humans capable of a just transition? Because if you look at the scope of human history, colonization, slavery, massive amounts of pain, mass genocide, racial cleansings, like the Holocaust, can we even do this? Is a question I often ask myself. And I have to think, no, not unless we can get through what does it mean to be just and include everyone. And that's where I'm like, oh, God help me. Like, I need a higher power to guide me in my heart to think of more than just myself.
Kevin, as we close out the first episode of our podcast, I'm wondering, what are your hopes for this podcast? And what can our listeners expect from you?
My approach to Creation Care and my heart for being on this podcast is to show the reason why we're doing these things and the root of it, not just how do we do good things for the environment or how can I reduce my carbon footprint, but why is it good to do these things? What's the theological foundation to that? What's the humanitarian foundation to that? And so what I hope to bring is thoughtful, emotionally and spiritually sensitive approach to Creation Care.
I would just add that I'm really hoping that we can help college students and young people find community with like-minded individuals, whether that's helping them learn about the amazing organizations that are already doing faith-based work in this space, or providing a safe space for them to ask questions. I'm really hoping to see a community formed around this project. I'm so excited to be doing this with you. In the next episode, we'll sit down with our first guest so that you can hear directly from other youth committed to climate action. Please follow us on Instagram at Youth in Climate Action or enable notifications wherever you are listening to this podcast so that you can be notified when our next episode releases. Thanks for listening.